For those of you who just kind of dropped in today, and I apologize that you're kind of dropped in the middle of something, but we're engaged in a study of the subject of authority and how we can establish, how we can know what God wants us to do. And we are now on week 7 of that study. There are some 14 studies, so we're almost halfway through. And so it may be somewhat disjointed to those of you who are visiting, but we're today talking about the idea of implication and inference, because those have a part in our understanding of authority. Last week, we were looking at the subject of what we call CENI, C-E-N-I, command, example, and necessary inference. And we talked a little bit about that, but we also talked about the idea of purpose, principle, and precept. And we've also talked about the ideas that have been expressed by others that I think aren't as valuable in understanding what the will of the Lord is. So let's talk a little more about this idea of inference, implication, and inference. And I want to make sure you understand the difference in those two. So the difference is basically this. I imply something. You infer something. When I imply something, I don't give a direct statement about that, but rather give indications that this is what I want. When you infer something, you're taking that information and you're drawing a conclusion from that. Now, implication and inference are not absolutes. But I must tell you that neither are commands always. We'll talk more about that as we move through this. But if you're looking for a guidebook from God that says, this is exactly what I want from you today to this limit, you're not going to find it. He's never offered that. And even some of his starkest commands were misunderstood and disobeyed. I think God wants us, this is my personal opinion, I think God wants us to have to exert ourselves to some degree to understand what he wants. Because that means we're invested in that. To give you an example, if I said to Paula, look, just tell me exactly what you want for your birthday, and I'll go get it. I'll go buy it. Tell me exactly what it is, where it is, how much you want spent, and I'll go do that. I don't think that has the same value to her as if I said, I was thinking about what you might want, and I was trying to think about things you've said lately that have indicated you're bereft of those things, and here's what I got you. I think that has more meaning. It does for us, and I believe that when we invest ourselves in understanding God and what he wants, he treasures that, he values that. It says we care enough to want to wrestle with those things. So we're not very comfortable with implication and inference. I know that. We're not very comfortable with that. We like the commands. And if it's an example that's accompanied by a command, I'm going to do this and this is exactly what you should do. We're comfortable with that, but we're not as comfortable with implication and inference as we are with show and tell. God, just show me what you want. God, just tell me what you want and I'll do it. But implication's a little different about that because they do seem at times subjective, and they are easy to misunderstand. Now, only those of you who are right down in the front are going to be able to really get this, and particularly the ones in the annex are not going to from their distance. But I have these furrows on my brow right here. They come down in the middle of my forehead, and they're just there all the time. And the only way I could really get rid of them is to look maniacal. You know, if I did this all the time, I get rid of those, but then everybody wonders, what is so surprising to Ralph about everything? So they're there all the time, but they're often misunderstood. I can be talking to somebody and they'll go, well, I can see you're really disagreeing. And I'm going, no, I'm thinking about it. And those furrows are there. So someone has inferred something that wasn't accurate. But we do that, and we do run that risk. But I do want to tell you, we use implication and inference all the time, every day. And we're very comfortable with it. We don't go around in our lives wringing our hands. I wonder if I understood that right. Oh, I'm not real sure about that. We do it all the time. We use implication. We imply things. We do that with voice inflection. I've said this before, it's a great example because it happens all the time. And any man that's married, and for those of you who are newly married or going to be married, you need to listen to this. If you say you're going to go do something, like, Paula, I think I'm going to go spend $1,500 on a new TV. I'm going to go do that today. And she says, fine. The word says, go do it. But the voice says, at your peril, do it. We use voice inflection all the time to do that. I remember one time saying to my dad I was going to do something. He said, go ahead, keep it up, keep it up. And he didn't mean, I didn't take that to mean at all, oh, okay, you like, I'll do it again. I understood that meant, keep it up, and you're going to find out what is on the other side of that. Somebody may say, hey, would you like some more of this? And we go, sure. When we say it that way, we're implying something by that. Now, I want you to think for a moment about how many implications there are on a given Sunday morning at Henderson Boulevard. At Henderson Boulevard, typical morning worship service. You drive up in your car and you face Shans or one of his parking attendants, and they're doing this. They're not saying anything. They're not even pointing you here, but they're telling you, come on, park here. This is where I want you. They didn't say it. They didn't command it. What are they doing? They're implying it. They're implying you can park here. And then when you get right where they want you, what do? Stop. That's an implication. You read that. Nobody said anything. And then you come in the building. As you come into the foyer, Micah and his crew of greeters are there, and one of them says, hi, and they just stick their hand out. They don't go, shake my hand. They just put their hand out, and what do? You take it and shake. That's an implication. They didn't say do it. There's no rule says when you come in this building, any extended hand is meant to be taken and shaken. It doesn't happen that way. And then you encounter Tyler's group, the ushers, because you step into the building and they're looking around. They're looking around and they look back at you and they do this. They motion. They do this. What does that mean? Follow me. And then they take you to a row and they stand there at the end of that row. And they may do this. What does that say? Here's where you're going to sit. Or you're going down the row. Down the rows, the aisles, you're going down there, and all of a sudden you see somebody you know, and she pats the seat next to her. What's she doing? Is she saying, I have a comfortable seat. You should get one like mine. No, what's she saying? Sit here. That's an implication. Nobody's said anything in any of those, but they're implying, come sit next to me, and then Todd gets up to lead singing like he did this morning, and he gets to the very first song, and he just does this. He does this. And we all stand up. We're inferring from his bodily gesture that that's what he wants us to do. He didn't point at Charlie and say, he didn't even say stand. He doesn't have to. He may, but if he doesn't, that's an implication. And we're inferring from that that we're supposed to stand. And then the preacher gets up and he says this, and he says this kind of to our visitors. He says, we're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 12 today. And David says, if you don't have your own Bible, there are pew Bibles in the seats in front of you, in the racks in front of you. Now, are you supposed to look and just go, well, isn't that interesting? He pointed those out. I wonder how come he didn't point out the songbooks or the little pencil stubs. Is it just a matter of interest? No. What is David saying? He's saying there are Bibles there. If you don't have yours, do what? Use one of those. Did he say that? No. Did he show that by example? Did he pick up a Bible off the rack and say, watch what I do, do this? No. What did he do? He implied you're to take the Bible if you need it. The teachers in the class. Teachers in the class and says, how many of you have ever been afraid at night? And hands go up all over the room. Why? You've implied that's what you want them to do. You've given an implication about that. And the people have inferred, oh, I'm supposed to raise my hand if I've ever been afraid at night. And then, yeah, and then you get to the end of the service and you're there. You haven't been there before. And all of a sudden the invitation song starts and the preacher didn't even say, while we stand and while we sing, which is kind of a standard line, but he doesn't say that. He just says, so if you need prayers or would like to become a child of God, why don't you come? And everybody stands up. What do you infer from that? I'm supposed to stand up. Look, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's eight different examples of inference and implication. No one of those had a command. Most of those weren't even spoken about. But we infer what we're supposed to do. And we operate that way all the time. We do that in our families. If I were to ask Paula, and we're at Busch Gardens, and I say, hey, you want to ride the Montu with me? And she just gives me a scoffing grin. She's told me something, hadn't she? She didn't even have to shake her head no. That's an implication she gave, and I inferred from that, not on your life. I inferred from that. But I think that's pretty safe. Or I tell a joke and Paula rolls her eyes. Maybe it's a dad joke. And Paula rolls her eyes. What does that say? It didn't go over so well. That's an implication, and I infer she doesn't want to hear that joke again. Or, this one's a personal one between us. Whenever I do something that's questionable or wrong, Paula will, under the table, reach over and just squeeze my leg. She doesn't squeeze it hard, just squeezes my leg. And that lets me know, oh, I just did something. Now, sometimes I have to really fight with myself to figure out what it is I did. I'm not always sure about what I did, but I know I did something. So she's implying something. Think, I'm inferring something. Oh, I did something wrong. I better figure out what it was and try to correct it. She asks, will I retrieve something for her? Hey, would you get this? And I do it this way. Yes. I'm implying something, aren't I? Aren't I? And she's inferring something. You know, I've either tested Ralph or he's busy with something else or he's just an impatient person. implication, inference. When we had dinner guests, when our girls were growing up, if I were to say to the girls as we sat down at the table, girls, remember your manners, that's a statement, but how it's applied is inferred. It may mean let the guests go first, or make sure that you look after their needs before yours. I don't have to say that. I just say, mind your manners, and that's done. Or if I were to get up from the table and walk over to the kitchen area for something, and one of my daughters said, Daddy, I forgot my fork. That's an implication, isn't it? She's not wanting me to say, well, isn't that interesting? I did that once. That's not the response. What is she asking for? Would you get me one while you're up? You get that? Are y'all getting this? Yes? No? Did you see what you just did? Are you getting this? Yes? No? You could have just said, I got it. And some of you did. But what I was really asking for was some kind of confirmation. Am I making sense? Am I being clear? So we imply things and we infer things all the time. Mark Willis, did you get that? Yeah, see? We do that all the time. In business and the workplace, we do the same thing, folks. I go into the bank and the bank teller just makes eye contact with me and nods. There's nobody in front of her. And somebody's just walked away. Somebody just walked away, and she looks up at me and just nods. What is she saying? Come on, you're next. That's an implication. There was no command given. She's not giving me an example. Mr. Walker, let me show you what you need to do. Jill, would you go stand where he is and walk up to the counter after the last person goes away? And now, Mr. Walker, would you do what she did? That's show. Tell would be, Mr. Walker, I nodded at you because I want you to come up to the counter next. That's tell. She didn't do either of those. She didn't show. She didn't tell. She just implied. Makes eye contact and nods her head. Or you go into a place and you want to buy something, or you go to a walk-up counter at a restaurant, and what do you automatically do? Get in the back of the line, don't you? You get in the back of the line. Why? Because that's what other people are doing, and evidently that's how they serve people here. That's an implication and an inference. And let me give you one more. You go to a store, Ollie's opened here in Tampa again, not a, a new one opened. And they said, free giveaways. On the grand opening day. So if I were to go there and walk in the door and there's a person who's giving stuff away over there, what do? I assume I can do that. I would not say, I wonder if you have to meet certain criteria. I draw the conclusion everybody walking in is getting one of those. I get one of those too. That's an implication. And an inference. I infer I should get it. They're implying by handing it out to everybody that every person that comes in today gets one of these. So, we use inference and implication all the time. We should not be frightened of it when we find it in the Word of God. God uses inference and implication. He implies something, and we infer from that what we're supposed to do. Now, it is possible that we can be wrong. It is possible that I could say to somebody, is it okay if I do this? And they go, fine. And I go, oh, well, I won't. No. I'm sorry. I was just caught up in something. But no, it's fine. You can do it. Go ahead. You can do it. So I may misunderstand, and it's certainly possible to misunderstand God's will, but that's the error on my part, not God's part. I'm the one who made the mistake about the implication of what was being given. God's never wrong in his implications. Never. So, we infer things all the time about the Bible, by the way. There may be somebody, and maybe there's somebody here this morning who's saying, yeah, I'm still not comfortable with what you're saying, Ralph. Let me suggest to you, we all are using implication and inference regarding the Bible. Now, we may deny it in some particulars, but overall, we are doing that. The Bible was written thousands of years ago. Thousands of years ago. Why are you following it? Why are you following the Bible? And you may say, well, because God gave it to me. Show me the passage where it says God gave it to you. Show me the passage that says God gave his word for all people of all time, in all places, of all languages and nationalities. Show me the verse. We infer that it is for us. I think we're right in inferring that, but we infer that it's for us. And we do that based on some information that we have, that God loves all people. He's the same loving God today that he was when he wrote the word for the people that he loved then. And he desires the welfare of all humanity like he did the individual groups of people that he wrote this to many, many years ago. That's inference. We're drawing conclusions about that based on what we think God is. And we may draw it, well, because I have the same needs that Adam had. I need forgiveness of my sins. I need to be redeemed. And Adam had that need, and Moses had that need, and David had that need. And if this met their needs, then it will meet my needs also. That's implication of the word and an inference on our part. But now, having said that, let's go the other way. Sometimes we infer that something's not for us. Is this Bible applicable to you as God's will for your life? And before you say, oh, absolutely, let me ask you a sub-question. Is the Old Testament for you? Was it meant to be followed by us today, the Old Testament? And I might argue, well, it's the same God, right? Right? Isn't it? You see how I'm using implication? And only a handful of you inferred, right? See how I'm using implication again? I asked the question again, a little more forcefully, and I still didn't get the response. So a third time, God, who wrote the New Testament, also wrote the Old Testament, right? Yes. So why isn't the Old Testament for me? Well, because there are some implications God gave for the limits on the Old Testament. He, for one thing, said very clearly, it is for the covenant people called the Jews. Well, I'm not a Jew, so it's not for me. But also, Jesus kind of implied in the Sermon on the Mount that God's law in the Old Testament may not be for us. You've heard it said, but I say to you. You've heard it was said, Old Testament, but I say to you, there's something different coming. So if I want to follow Jesus and what he says, I'm not going to follow the covenant relationship that Jesus was referring to as that was said. that also the Hebrew writer calls that it's old and passing away. You won't find a single scripture that says, and by the way, if you live today, you're not supposed to follow the Old Testament. I don't know of a passage that says that. But I do know passages and concepts that imply that, that give the idea that that is the case. So it isn't, I don't follow the Old Testament because I don't like what it says. And it isn't, I don't follow the Old Testament because it's too old. Or I don't follow the Old Testament because it's hard to do. That's not my reasoning. My reasoning is, I infer, because I'm not a Jew, and that Old Testament was written for the Jews of the old dispensation, that I am not to follow the Old Testament. Is it valuable? Absolutely. But it's not God's dictate for me. So you've got other implications and inferences. I mean, you've got statements like this. I'm in Galatians chapter 5. I'm in Galatians chapter 5. What did I just do? I implied something, didn't I? Your response to that was not, well, good for you. Go for it, Ralph, Galatians 5, go. That's not what you inferred. What you inferred was, oh, Ralph's in Galatians 5. He probably wants me to be there. So whether you're going to turn in your Bible or you're going to listen, I have something from Galatians 5 I think is valuable to you. Not just, well, wow, Ralph, why are you there? In Galatians 5, beginning in verse 19, I love this. This is so helpful in this idea of implication and inference. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. What's the next phrase? And things like these. How do I know what things like these are? I infer it. The writer just gave me an implication. You want to stay away from the things that are like those things. How do I determine that? Well, I determine what it is about those things that make them what they are. I have to think. I have to think. Now, can we miss it? Yeah, it's possible to miss the things like these. But I often tell people that say things like this, well, you know, the Bible doesn't specifically condemn recreational marijuana. Can you show me the verse? Actually, yes. It's right here. Verse 21. It's things like these. That's where recreational marijuana is. It's in that category of things that alter us, change us, make us different than we are. I would find it there. Somebody says, well, you know, what about this or what about that? I have to judge those things because the Bible doesn't have a list of everything that's ever been wrong. Well, is it wrong to run a stop sign? Well, Ralph, why don't you just show me the verse that tells me God doesn't want me running stop signs? Why don't you show me the verse? Well, actually, it's right here. Verse 21, things like these. Because these are rebellious acts. These are acts against authority. But we have to draw conclusions about those. I want to show you another one. Another one that's very similar to that. I'm in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. I'm looking at verses 12 through 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk and is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's an infant. But solid food, listen, is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Did God give me a complete list of everything that's good and evil? No. But I'll tell you what God did. He said, Ralph, I will give you ideas of what is good and what is evil. I'm going to imply certain things are good, and I'm going to imply certain things are evil. And you need to have your conscience and your senses trained to understand what those are. Trained. So it isn't a matter of I need God's absolute statements of what is good, what isn't good, what's right and what's not right. I just need God's implications that I can infer from that. So you've got this story of the Good Samaritan. And the Samaritan was helpful to that Jew that fell among thieves on the way to Jericho. And Jesus said at the conclusion of that, when he asked the man who said, who's my neighbor? He said, so this is your neighbor, the one who showed mercy toward him. Is that story for me? Yeah. So I just need to know that I'm to help my neighbor if he is a Jew who's fallen among thieves, right? No, Ralph, it's broader than that. How do you know that? Well, you infer that. You made an inference about that, that you have an obligation. First of all, that you have an obligation, not just the people that heard Jesus deliver that the first time, but you have an obligation to help who? People that need help. Is that what that passage says? No, but that's what that passage implies. You get the difference? This passage implies I have that obligation. So I'll give you one more and then we're going to close. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12 is the golden rule. It says, do unto others what you would have them do unto you. The way you want to be treated is the way you should treat others. Had a brother in Concord, North Carolina, that went in the hospital, and I went to see him in the hospital, and he said, I appreciate you coming, but he says, I got to tell you, when I'm in the hospital, I'm here to heal. I really don't want company. I really don't want company. I would just prefer to be alone until I get out of here. Thank you very much. Okay, so I didn't go see him. But that brother also drew the conclusion, because I don't want people to see me when I'm in the hospital, he never went to the hospital to see anybody. He draw the right conclusion from that? I don't think so. If I were a young man single, and I saw a beautiful young lady walking toward me, and I thought, you know what, man, I wish she'd just come up to me and hug me. I don't say, well, if that's the way I want to be treated, that's the way I'll treat her and run up to her and hug her. I can't do that. I do that at my own peril. We need to be careful about our inferences and implications, but we do draw implication and inference from what the Scripture says. We determine what it means to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. We determine what it means as to how we apply that in our lives. God says, love your enemies. How do I love my enemies? Do I kiss them? Send them mushy cards? I give them presents? Feel warm toward them? Well, that's how I love some people, but I wouldn't draw that conclusion about that passage. I need to look at how it's played out in the lives of others. What is God implying by that statement, love your enemies? I have to make determinations about that. So in conclusion, we can disagree at times about our inferences. I grew up in a neighborhood where some of our neighbors felt Sunday is a special holy day, and they were to regard it differently than any other day of the week. So my friends weren't allowed to play Cowboys and Indians on Sunday because that didn't show the proper respect for the Lord's Day. Not everybody would draw that inference from some of the statements that are made in the Bible. We may disagree on how much we should offer to the Lord in these offering boxes. You may be comfortable with the Old Testament tithe, but I may feel my financial situation won't allow me to give that much. We draw conclusions about that. Implication and inference, they're important. Do not belittle it and don't neglect it. We do it all the time. And as we move through this study, we're going to continue to ask, so what is God trying to say to us? What's the implication of this? What should I infer from this? That's where we're going to be over the next weeks. You've been very patient. You may pass out.